You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Today we're going to be talking about hospitality. An invitation to a warm home, a welcome table, a meal you didn't make, a mug of tea, a caring question about your week, a curiosity about your passion, a thoughtful word of truth, an offer of prayer, a hug of encouragement. Receiving hospitality is such a powerful act of compassion, isn't it? Knowing that someone's thought of you, considered your needs, and wanted to bless you. The hospitality is more than a gesture, both for the host and for the guest. So today we're going to carry on our preaching series, looking at what makes Jubilee, Jubilee. And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the power of hospitality. We're also going to look at what it looks like, what shape does it take, and how can we seek God's will in hospitality together. Now, we might say that we as Christians want to look to Jesus as our example, right? We say we want to be like Jesus. I want to ask us maybe a slightly different question this morning and say, well, are we ready to look to Jesus for our social cues, for our social example? Are you in? All right, so to help us discover, we're going to look at hospitality through an illustration. I want you to think of it this morning as a house of hospitality. Now, in my mind, this was quite a simple illustration and really clear at communicating the ideas, but you're going to have to tell me whether that was actually the case. Now, every good house starts with a foundation. So let's start by taking hold of the essence of the scriptures and what it has to say about hospitality. So first scripture from Romans 12, 13. Practice hospitality. That's it. It's literally its own sentence, just to make it clear. It doesn't get much clearer than that. The foundation is simple. It's critical. It's a command to us as Christians. But what else? We're to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So that means really the only thing that should be grumbling are our tummies, and hopefully that doesn't last too long. What else? We're to show, not to forget, to show hospitality to strangers. And the verse actually goes on to say, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. There's an emphasis. It's on welcoming strangers, but with an anticipation. Lastly, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. 3 John 1:8. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Gaius, and the very essence of the letter is to commend Gaius for his hospitality. This is a time when the church leaders were traveling between the cities, visiting and planting churches. Therefore, you know, the idea here was that the hospitality was crucial to the growth of the church. It was at the very foundation. Therefore, whilst the prior scripture suggests that we have a wider interpretation of strangers, here we see that special encouragement to be hospitable to the traveling leaders, to the missionaries, and to welcome them as brothers and sisters. So, I'm going to bring you my illustration. Ta-da! Here's my foundation, all right? So here's the command. We have our foundation. And to help us remember this, we could summarize those scriptures maybe to say, practice hospitality without grumbling. Don't forget strangers, non-believers, and believers. I wonder if any of this is a surprise. Maybe not. After all, we're all relational beings, aren't we? We're all looking for love. Deep down, we need it. Often in ways we don't understand or don't even acknowledge. We can search and search. We can have genuine experiences of love. And whilst the truth of the command to be hospitable is clear, the strength in our foundation is in knowing the one who gives the command. After all, love is not God. God is love. The realest love that is modeled through relationship with the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Out of an overflow of this, we are created in his image. So then the command to practice hospitality, when it seems unsurprising, well, now maybe we can think about why that might be. So now we have a foundation for our house of hospitality that we need to think about the shape that defines what it looks like. So I want to bring two scriptures and for us to dig into those a little deeper this morning and think about the shape of our house and how clear that shape is. First, let's go back to the scripture that we looked at from Romans 12, 13. Do you remember that really long one? Practice hospitality. Here's the rest of the scripture from the wider passage. Should we read it together? All right. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Look at the sentence that's before practice hospitality. What's another word we might use when we want to respond to another person's need? We might say we're showing compassion. It's like saying, be compassionate to God's people. Share. Practice hospitality. When I read this, I'm reminded of how many times I felt blessed by the hospitality at Jubilee. When Leslie and I first joined Jubilee, the annual recommitment evening used to be out at Waverley Abbey House. And, you know, we'd turn up and you'd drive down the driveway and you'd be welcomed. There'd be greeters as we walk in the building. They'd take us round and there'd be teas and coffees while the dinner, you could smell the dinner. You'd go through, you'd sit down, a beautiful meal together. Oh, go get another tea and coffee and then we'll go upstairs to press in and prayer and what's God's got on the church, you know, on the heart for the church. Like, oh, that was such a blessing. Do you know what, Fiers? I didn't even know who did it. It just sort of happened. But Ken and Lynn Johnson and Sean were faithfully serving, giving, often behind the scenes, amongst many others. And it takes an army of so many to prepare those meals. What about the Sunday lunches at Wayland Christian Center since we've been coming out of lockdown? Has anyone made those? You know, when we saw that, Leslie and I saw them, and we thought, I don't think we've remembered how to host one person. How are they doing a whole hall? Like, we better stay clear, because like there's five of us, we'll probably wipe them out. We haven't seen everyone for so long as well, you know. But soon enough after the first one, we'd heard how good it was, and we were signed back up before we knew it. We're so thankful. So many people served and gave at a time where it was difficult for us, right? We're trying to get back up and running after COVID. You know, catering for Sunday lunches, as if that wasn't enough. Have you thought about those that serve at New Day? A whole week with the youth, serving, looking after their provision, their needs, their food, and, you know, sparing nothing. I mean, just wonderful hearing the stories of the cakes in the afternoon and the treats that were had along the way. What about the spring away? The children's camp in spring. What about the Alpha and the meals served at Alpha? The Den, the marriage course, church services, small and large, West Point Festival, Waverley Woods, Kids Club, meal trains for new parents, growth group barbecues. At Jubilee Church, there is a lot of hospitality happening. And I believe it's an act of compassion towards those that are in need in the church. This heart for practicing hospitality is at the core of how we use Wading Christian Centre today. And as we look to revamp Wading Christian Centre, don't we want to be able to continue to use it to serve as hospitality together? So with all that serving, I thought it would be good to hear from someone's short testimony. So Quinton, can I ask you up? Yes, let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. Here we go. So Quinton, you do a lot of serving.
Try to.
And you also bring a lot of compassion to hospitality. And so at the same time, you also do it as a profession, which is just blows my mind, right? That you give in a work sense and then come and give in the same way in the church sense. I wonder if, could you just share a little bit about what is it that motivates you in that? Where does that come from?
Just a bit more bass, so I sound a little bit more tougher. that was my joke. where it stems down from, I think it takes, for me personally, it's a passion and it's a love. The reason why I do it in Jubilee mostly is because of the people around me. And I can see everybody sit here, we barbecue together, we cook together, and we spend good time together. The biggest part of that is it's a family. For me, Jubilee is an extension of my home, and more so an extension to my family. And what you will do for family is constantly just give and deliver. You don't say no to that, so why would you not say yes to things like that? You know, I get involved in sometimes a bit too much involved. And an example is just, you know, Sean and Haley when Sam's wedding was on. You know, it started off as just a couple of questions and then ended up, you know, cooking everything. And then Catherine then stepped up to support. So I think it is nice to say the whole church is coming together over special occasions. Like you mentioned, spring away. Catherine's always in the kitchen, but it's nice. I tried to get in there just to make conversation, but I'm out there with the kids. So it's a passion thing, but I feel it. It's more useful for me in a church aspect than a job aspect, because you know your job pays you to be hospitable, where Jubilee is the love that pays for that feeling. And that's why I think the passion comes from.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, no, Quinton. No. Thank you. Could we also do another round of applause for all of those that have served with the lunches and the other New Day, Spring Away, Alpha courses, marriage courses. Okay. And we know that's the only things that we see on the diary, isn't it? Right? There's so much more that happens in the home, around the kitchen table. And yeah, thank you. It's such a valuable way to express love and compassion together. So back to our passage. We've got a bit more to read. So I would like to actually carry on through the rest of this passage in Romans. So can we read the next bit together? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do not take a revenge, my friends, but leave the room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if you feed him, if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, when I hear this, the rest of this message, it's like the Apostle Paul just turned the dial right up on compassion and hospitality to the maximum. When was the last time we each personally experienced a sense of injustice through someone else's actions towards us? What emotions came to the fore? What actions were the result? You know, I can feel almost stuck in that emotion when that happens. All consumed, like unable to move on. And that's for a small injustice. What if we could consider meeting their basic needs? This is a challenging passage. A model of grace in action. And it speaks of the power of compassion through hospitality. There's no pretext here to call out a special group of people like missionaries in a foreign culture. This is a call to all Christians. This is love in action. Haven't we heard those words somewhere else today? So has anyone guessed yet the shape of our house of hospitality? Okay, it's a bit of a play on words. But the shape of our hospitality is compassion. So we have a foundation that is a command to practice hospitality without grumbling, sharing with strangers, non-believers, and believers. The structure of our house is then shaped by compassion. So now, how do we fill the house? How is it furnished? What do we place inside? This is where it all comes together. This is where we cook the meal, serve the drinks, make the bed. We're going to look at a second scripture now, and we're going to look at Jesus' example in hospitality. And we're going to take from the Gospel of Matthew. But you can also find the story in the Gospels of Luke and Mark if you want to look further afterwards. Now, at the start of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee to his own town of Capernaum, where he was met by some men carrying a paralyzed man, where Jesus forgives him and he heals him. And then we're going to pick up together in verse 9. Let's read together. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call righteous, but sinners. This is hospitality in action. In Levi, the tax collector's home, with a great banquet, with a crowd of people, many of them we could assume would be strangers. And it's happening with a team. Levi, Jesus, and Jesus' disciples. What I want us to focus on is on how Jesus uses this backdrop of hospitality in the story to illustrate his message in response to the Pharisees. They are questioning his choice of guests. And what does he say to them? Now go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, or another translation would say, I desire compassion, rather than sacrifice. Can you imagine the look on the Pharisees' faces? They were known for working through and scribing every detail of how to observe the law. And now Jesus was telling them, go and learn. Why did Jesus say this? And what can we learn from it today? You know, God is seeking a faithful relationship with us. You know, and for the Pharisees, they'd lost sight of that. They got caught in legalism, focusing purely on the law. We are made righteous through God's grace, hey? His compassion. Jesus restores our relationship to God. Therefore, inviting others in, and when we're hospitable, it's not about being more righteous, is it? More holy, better than those we're inviting in. Hospitality is not about glorifying ourselves or our home or our cooking skills, as if we're earning God's favor by doing good, making sacrifices. We don't seek to have a pat on the back. We do it because Jesus first showed us compassion. Now, this isn't to say we don't want to do hospitality well, is it? But it does reinforce what shapes our house of hospitality. You know, I heard a practical description of this that I thought could be helpful, of thinking of it as taking the needs of others into your care as long as they're in your space. Isn't that powerful? I was reminded of something that happened a couple of months ago. So Mark and Bev Landrett-Smith came to join us for a meal one evening, and we're chatting around the table, different questions. And during the conversation, one of the children had brought up about a friend who had just had difficulty sleeping, talking about the thought of ghosts being in the house. Something was distracting them. And it was, you know, it was really affected their ability to sleep. You know, and I thought, God, this would be interesting. Mark's going to come forward with some clear scriptural reference, some biblical texts that will help to clear understanding as to how we should think about ghosts. And do you know what he said in response? God, that must be really difficult for your friend. Imagine not being able to sleep in your own house. I thought, well, my mind wasn't there at all. My mind was in the Word. Isn't there such power when we can bring forth the compassion? When we have guests present, don't we need to be present too? We also see that Jesus doesn't choose to invite people based on the assessment of their status, which is clearly the expectation of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were more concerned about their outward appearance, their respectability, than they were about practical help. More focused on criticism than encouragement. As I was preparing, I was reminded of a conversation we had in growth group last month. We were talking about peacemakers. A number of the group had read the same devotion in the morning, and it had really stuck. And so I'd just like to read with you the prayer that came from the devotion. Jesus, you came to us as Prince of Peace. Teach us to know your reconciling way. Enable us to be curious about others' stories. Give me the encouragement or the courage to be present. Inspire us to reimagine what's possible. Finding hope by glimpsing you at work. You know, Jesus was the Prince of Peace in this story with Levi, seeking to bring reconciliation and healing, curious about the tax collector's stories, an act of courage in a clear response to the Pharisees. And he calls us to be peacemakers too. So let's come back to our house. We've got our command as our foundation, and we've got our shape of the house made by compassion. Now, I said we were going to look at furnishing the house. of hospitality, but I haven't seen a table of chairs in sight. So my point here is that furnishing the house has the potential to become a bit like focusing on the sacrifice. We could try to work out and scribe every practical detail of how we want to tidy, to clean, to cook, to present the food, to present ourselves to our guest, to the extent that we can end up diluting our compassion. I know when I've done this, you know, when someone leaves, I think, oh, Neil, you didn't even ask them about what they were burdened on last time we spoke. I think, oh, I was so focused on the doing, I missed the relationship. So how can we furnish the house of hospitality well? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a pointer to a recipe book where guests should sit round the table. Doesn't tell us how to make the place look welcoming. Doesn't tell us what bedding to use. Doesn't tell us what house cleaning is required. All these ideas that we have, they're the creativity that we bring, aren't they? They're the actions that demonstrate the compassion, that we've thought of the guest, and that we care. As Bob Goff explained in his book, Love Does, that we've spoken about before, love is never stationary. In the end, love doesn't just keep thinking about it. It doesn't keep planning about it. Simply put, love does. Love goes to the grocery store. Love takes out the rubbish. It drives a needed meal across Farnham. It vacuums and dusts. It sweeps up the leaves. It runs errands on others' behalves. Love pours the coffee, brews the tea. Love hosts an elderly neighbor or a hall full of schoolchildren. Love loads the dishwasher. It sets the table. It counts the plates. It sears the meat. It roasts the potatoes. Love makes the bed and washes the towels. Love leans in, speaks with grace. Love prays. Love opens the door. Love welcomes. And love serves. So it's our own creativity, our own expression of the love that we've received that brings the creativity in our house, isn't it? It's not done out of a bar of expectation presented to us in our culture or keeping up with the Joneses. Our desire to serve well is an expression of our compassion and bringing our creativity to the table. So as we think about this illustration of a house of hospitality together, I want us to remember it's furnished with our creativity. It's shaped by compassion and founded on the command, practice hospitality. If I could ask the band to come up. We have an opportunity in front of us in the next month. Churches are coming together under the banner of Love in Action. You know, in my study Bible, that's the very title from the top of the passage of Romans, Love in Action. The heart of the mission is to enable a curiosity about things that matter. Things that matter in our community, key values, and how, when we look at those, they point us to Jesus. This is an opportunity for us to practice hospitality, to invite people to the things that matter, and to serve at the event itself. So, in the spirit of Love Does, it's very difficult to stand here and for us to talk. We need to do. I want to invite you to respond this morning. So in a minute, the band's going to play a song of praise, celebration, because as we do this, we come knowing the love that we've received. And whilst the band's playing, I want you to search your heart. How do you need to respond this morning? What's been relevant for you? Who's on your heart? What's God doing? And if one of these ways connects with you, there's three options to come up to the front. If you feel you have someone on your heart this morning, will you pray for them while we sing? We have some cards up here on the table. Why don't you write them an encouragement? Why don't you think of inviting them? If you need something, we've got some baked biscuits up here. We couldn't have hospitality without eating, hey? Would you come and take some biscuits? Come and give them to someone who's God's placed on your heart. Go and share an encouragement with them. Go and be with them. Go and be present. Go and build a relationship. If you need somewhere to host, especially for the youth, or those maybe that don't have a place at home right now where you can invite people in, come forward. We've got some vouchers for the Coffee DM in town. You can go and get a couple of drinks. Go sit down, have a chat. You'll be in the Lion and Lamb. Maybe you can tell them a story about a lion and lamb. Are you ready to go and practice hospitality? Remember, it's furnished with creativity, shaped with compassion, and it's founded on a command. Practice hospitality.